During World War II, there was a rubber shortage. Japan had bombed a lot of the rubber factories in Asia, and so there was a charge to a lot of the scientists and engineers in the U.S. to synthesize rubber. One guy, Dr. James Wright, he was an engineer with GE, and he was trying to do just that, synthesize rubber. After all, in a war effort, you got tires, you got boots, you got all kinds of things that rubber is critical for. And so in one day he was doing just that, and the story goes that he accidentally dropped boric acid in silicone oil. And the result was a substance with a lot of amazing properties, but it didn't quite hold up to the heat as rubber is required, so he didn't know what to do with it. Eventually, some toy manufacturers heard about it and bought the rights to it, and they turned what he called nutty putty into what we know of as silly putty. And so silly putty has, ever since then, been annually one of the most popular toys. You know, fun fact, it actually is sold in eggs because it originally was marketed at Easter time, and it went so well, everyone recognized it in that packaging, and so it carried on. You know, you can say a lot of things about silly putty, that it was one of the most, you know, successful toys, that it's amazing all the different things you can do with it. What you can't say is that it worked well to its design. You can't say that it was designed to be a toy. None of those things happen. And I feel like a lot of times when we follow Christ, we kind of fall in line with that. We know that God loves us, that he has a plan for our lives, that he can use us, but oftentimes success in ministry, success in our service, we feel like we're kind of stumbling into it. Last week, Dave began our current series called Dethroned by looking at our theme verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where we saw that Jesus came to serve. We learned that we need to take the initiative to serve like Jesus did. Today, I want to look at how God designed our service. I want to look at how God designed the church, how he designed us to serve within it. We're going to do that in 1 Peter 4. So if you have your Bibles or your phone or tablet, open up to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 10 and 11. I want to read it together, if you could with me. It's just these two short verses, starting in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, chapter 4 of 1 Peter, if you were to look at the context of where these two verses fit in, you see that it is all about living out the gospel in a broken world and with limited time. 1 Peter was written to Christians that were undergoing persecution, and they needed to know how they were to respond, how do you live out the gospel when your own neighbors are out to get you? And so he covers many things in chapter 4 as he kind of summarizes and concludes the things that he wants to communicate. And so when he gets to 10 and 11, we see that this whole idea of spiritual gifts are couched in mission priority language. Here's the mission. We want to bring the kingdom of God to earth. We want to accomplish the Great Commission. We want to follow Jesus. Doing that through these spiritual gifts, as we're going to talk about this morning, it's couched in mission priority and an understanding of how this fits into living out the gospel in a world that is hostile to the gospel. And also knowing that our time here is limited, whether it's waiting for Christ to return or just the reality that none of us are promised another 24-hour period. And so these two verses, although short, they hold a lot. And in fact, the first phrase is where I want to begin. There's three words that I really want to highlight. Because we see as we move into these verses that each has received a gift. Each has received a gift. God's design for the church is individual grace to accomplish the corporate mission. And there's three words in this phrase that really hold. I want to excavate them a little bit. That first word is each, right? What does each tell us about these gifts? Well, we see that in the kingdom of God, God gives value to the individual. You know, the church that Jesus launched was never meant to be a few mission-critical leaders surrounded by a lot of expendable followers. No, he gives value to each and every one of us, that we all have a function, an important function, and we've all been equipped to carry out your mission, to run your path. So each of us has value in the church. The second word is received. And now we get into this idea of the giving and the receiving of this gift and how that works. And that brings us back to when Jesus was with his disciples, because he told them that he must go away, and he needed to go away because it would be better for them. Because when he goes away, he would send the Helper. The Helper meaning the Holy Spirit. And he said when the Holy Spirit shows up, the Holy Spirit would tell you what to say, tell you how to respond, tell you how to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is said throughout the New Testament to have a few roles with the believer. He seals us. He gives us eternal security. He gives us an education to help us understand Scripture. He clarifies Scripture to our hearts, convicts us of sin, but he helps us grow fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He also is the one that defines and refines our natural talents and personalities, what we call spiritual gifts. That's why we call them spiritual gifts. It's the Holy Spirit within us, developing them within us. So it makes sense that you may have been born with certain tendencies, certain abilities, certain natural abilities. Then when you come to Christ and the Holy Spirit goes to dwell within you, and then when you begin to follow the Spirit and allow him to fill you and you live a Spirit-directed life, that he then clarifies and defines and refines those natural abilities to what we call spiritual gifts. This is why maybe for you, when you were younger, versus how you interact now in ministry, you just wonder, where did this come from? I never even had the thought to do this. And then when you began to listen to the Spirit's voice in your life, it just became so clear. It's because you've received that gift as you followed the Spirit, submitted to his leadership. And then we also see it's a gift. The word here is charisma. And usually it's translated free gift elsewhere when it says that salvation is a free gift. It's charisma. And the reason why I want to bring that up is because the root of that is charis. Generally translated grace. And so really the full description of what God's design for us as individuals to accomplish the corporate mission is spiritual gifts of grace. That each of us is given individual grace to accomplish the corporate mission. And then as we go on to that, we see how we are to use it. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So we're to use it to serve, so it has a purpose. This gift, this design, God's design, as a purpose. The arms are not here for the benefit of themselves, right? If you think about your arms, your hands, they exist for the benefit of the rest of the body. Usually when I get a gift, I assume it has me in mind, right? The recipient is in mind. But when God gives us these gifts, it has everyone else in mind. You could say the church is a single living organism designed with a purpose, for a purpose, made up of many individual parts that each serve the whole. That's the individual grace to accomplish the corporate mission, and we do it through service. Turn with me over to Romans 12. We're going to kind of look at that as we go back to 1 Peter. There's two places in Scripture where these gifts are fleshed out a little bit more, and it's Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. It's always helped me that they're books right next to each other, and they're the same chapter, so if that helps you to know where to go to look up spiritual gifts, it's Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at the Romans list for a little bit, but first I want to look at the beginning of Romans, of that section in Romans 12, in just verses 3 and 4. Because we're going to see a little bit more about this idea that gifts are purposed to serve one another. That we are not given gifts for the recipient in mind. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. I like that phrase there, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he or she ought to think. You see, we have a tendency. If spiritual gifts are a Holy Spirit refined, defined element of our natural abilities, the way God made us, then we have the broken side of us that tends to develop a pride when we enact said spiritual gift or talent. We tend to start to look at ourselves a little bit more. We tend to become full of ourselves. And I think God knows that. And he gives Paul these words. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, because guess what? You're just a hand. You're just a mouth. You're just the ears. And if you were left on your own, you could do nothing. The arms benefit the rest of the body. They don't benefit themselves. We must see our gifting from the point of view of service, that I've been given this gift for the benefit of everyone else, not myself. We have a tendency to envy other people's gifts, talents, abilities. We look at the way maybe God is using someone and think, I wish I could be as encouraging as them. I wish I could just have that word of comfort at the right moment like they do. I wish I was physically capable to serve like they do. I wish God gave me the mental freedom to interact with people like that. I wish I was discerning as that person is. You know, those are statements of gift envy. But it's more than that. It's rejecting the way God has made you to fulfill your mission within the kingdom, longing to do someone else's mission. We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to group up with other like-minded, gifted people. We get together. You know, gifts were not given to us so that we could stand around and admire our gifts. They were given to use them in the church with each other. In fact, going back to 1 Peter, we see that we are to also steward these gifts. So we use them to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Our management of God's grace is part of the design. That's how it all works together. So it's interesting. Not only is this gift given to me, really for everyone else, but it's not even mine to begin with. When someone gives me a gift, I assume ownership. Right? It's mine. I don't even like sharing with my kids. I was the youngest, and I'm still the youngest. And my kids are just threatening my stuff. For Christmas, Angela gave me a new charcoal grill. I had a propane grill, and mice decided they wanted to live in it, and it, you know, rotted out and everything like those things do. And I just said, you know, I just want a simple charcoal grill. I could clean up a little bit better. Well, it's mine, right? Put it together, it's mine. But I cook food for everybody else, but it's mine. Mine. But it's not even mine, really. I have to manage it. I have to steward it. And so these gifts that we are given, they're for the benefit of everyone else, and I don't even own them. I manage them. What would it look like? What changes when we realize that God's design for us, when we realize our design is an investment, right? When we realize our investment, our design is an investment to manage and not a commodity to consume. What changes when we realize that? I was thinking about that this week, really just processing it. And I guess for me, what came to mind is that there's a shift and a realignment that happens. And I see it fleshed out in the story of the parables, or the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. There's a story about a master of a house that goes on a journey, and he leaves some money with three servants, and he gives it in varied amounts. He gives 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And if you remember the story, as the master's gone, the two servants that are given 5 and 2, they go out and they double it by investing. And then the one is fearful of losing the one, goes and buries it, and when the master returns, he doesn't say, hey, 5, you got 10, that's great. No, he just simply looks at the two that stewarded the money well and says, good job, well done, good and faithful servants. But the one that went out and buried it, he tried to play it safe, didn't want to risk anything, didn't want to use the gift that was given to him. He takes what was given to him and gives it to the other servants. What was the point? The point is, it's one of stewardship. It's an understanding that the master is the one that hands this stuff out. But it is not mine to keep. It is not mine to hold on to. It is mine to steward and use within the calling of what God might have us do. And so I think those two servants that were given the 5 and the 2, they had a shift and a realignment. Well, what did they shift? They shifted from consumer mentality to servant mentality. They understood that I was given this resource, not to consume, not to just have for myself and my own pleasure, but to serve the master with. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to use these resources and I'm going to invest them and see what happens. And they also realigned their priorities, the shift and a realignment. They realigned their priorities in the sense that whenever we begin to see that God's design for me is an investment that I'm a steward and not a commodity to consume, I realize this life of mine that is a circle and all these pie shapes, that God and my relationship with God and how I serve other people and how my ministry that God has entrusted to me is not a slice of the pie. It's the whole thing. And we become God-centered, and that feeds into everything else we do. It's a realignment of priorities. We're also told, though, as we continue on in 1 Peter 10, what do we steward? We steward God's varied grace. I like this word varied. Yours, it might, in your version, it might say manifold. And, you know, when you look at the Greek word that's translated varied here in my version, I use the English Standard Version, and yours might say manifold. I think both those words are great because they really give both sides of this word. When I think of varied, I think of lots of different things. When I think of manifold, I think of levels. And it's more this way and this way going on. And so that brings in this idea that this grace that we are given, there's varied kinds of gifts, but also there's a mix. And so we don't just have one thing that we do. We have levels and mixes. But there's another word that could be used. If you look up this Greek word, it gives varied as a English word you can use. It gives manifold. And then there's a third one that I think Bible translators maybe don't use because it's maybe got some negative connotations, but I think it really does a good job of explaining and describing the church. And that word is motley. So if you really think about it, the church is God's motley crew. And if you laughed, that shows your age. For the younger people, you can go Google it later. But motley crew, all motley means is varied and mixed, that it's all different things. And that's exactly what the church is. It was never meant to be carbon copies. It's never meant to be perfect and pretty and efficient. I value efficient. The Bible doesn't. God doesn't. Efficiency is not a biblical value. I value it. I love efficiency. In fact, you might say, well, why didn't God just make us all the same, like some optimal mix of what that looks like? Well, he didn't. Flip back over to Romans 12 with me, and we're going to look at this list of varied graces. As you go back over to Romans 12, we're going to look at verse 6. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We're a motley crew. We're varied. We're mixed. We're different. We weren't meant to be shiny and perfect because God uses our weaknesses. Let us use them if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You see, varied gifts. The reason I think God doesn't just give us all the same standard package is efficiency in relationships and service tends to turn into redundancy. And no one likes to feel redundant. You have a church of this many people in here and we all did the same thing at the same level, I would just say, well, someone else is going to do it. We already say that a lot. And we've just seen that God has given us specific equipping to do a specific role. And when I say someone else will do it, well, whatever God designed for me to do, it isn't happening. But if all of us had the same design, we really could just sit back and say, there's 100 other people in here that could do it just as well as me. But no, for God, this kingdom is not an engineering system. It's an organic. The church is a body. It's made up of many members to accomplish one mission. And so there's relationships and there's interaction. And we've all seen people that have an illness in their brain where the wires cross and their brain cannot tell the members to work correctly. And you've seen when someone has, generally it's considered a palsy where maybe one half of your brain is, and you can't make this arm work with this arm, or you know, you can't say words properly. That's what the church is like when relationships and interaction in our very graces don't work together. Now, my goal this morning is not to look at this list and define them for you and help you figure out what your mix is like, but we do have a workshop starting next week on the 21st, 3 weeks in a row. You have an insert in your bulletin where you can sign up for them. That's the purpose of the workshops. We want to be able to work you through your shape. That's an acronym we use, and we've borrowed, and everyone else borrows on the planet. And it's spiritual gifts, personalities, abilities, personality, and experiences. And all those things, how God uses those things, your whole being, to put you in the right spot of where you have been designed to serve. And we'd love to sit down with you and do that. No, but what I want to do right now is just look at the fact that there are varied gifts, and that as Paul says this, he says, if prophecy in proportion, if service in serving, if one who teaches in his teaching. There's an appropriateness and a proportionality to it. And I think one really good way of helping us understand this is thinking about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And if you've seen the movie, if you've read the books, there's the scene where Father Christmas shows up and hands out gifts to the three obedient children. You know, the fourth one, he doesn't get a gift. You know, I don't know if that works into the whole good-bad list thing, but the three good kids, they're where they're supposed to be. Father Christmas shows up, hands out gifts. And remember what he says. After he gives them the gifts, he says, and they are tools, not toys. The time to use them, perhaps, near at hand. Bear them well. Really think this shows us kind of a picture of when we receive a gift that it is for a purpose to serve, and we need to use them appropriately. That's stewardship language. That's saying, look at your gift that you have, look at the environment God has placed you in, the people that are surrounding you, your sphere of influence to love that we call soil here, the soil that you've been planted in. Stewarding your gift means recognizing how God has designed you to serve those around you appropriately and in proportion to the gift that you've been given. If you remember the gifts that are handed out, little Lucy's given a little healing vial. Well, when the battle comes, she doesn't charge and throw her vial at people. It's not how the gift is used. No, she sits back, waits till it's done, and then goes in and restores life to people. Remember, Susan is given a bow, an arrow, and a horn. She doesn't throw her horn at people. She doesn't run up and hit people with her arrows. No, she uses them the way it's supposed to work. She bears them well in the appropriate time, and it's always based on their role in the mission. It's their role in the mission. So that's That's a lot in just one verse, right? Well, as we go on to verse 11, I just have two things I want to end with. First thing we see is that we need to consider the source. In verse 11, it says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." We need to consider the source of these gifts. Now, Paul, when he gave a list, he gets a little bit more specific and parses them out a little bit. Peter's a little bit more to the point, and he just kind of makes two categories. There's the speaking gifts, and then there's the serving gifts. But in both situations, he's reminding us to consider the source. And when he talks of speaking, we often think, oh, he's just talking about teachers. No, he's talking about the person that gives a word of encouragement to someone in a coffee shop, the person that is able to write a great thank you note and make someone really feel needed, the person that is able to comfort, the person that is able to discern someone else's question and answer appropriately. He's saying that when we follow God's will in our life, when we're submitting to the Spirit, and he's given us this gift of grace, and we're using it appropriately, we're stewarding it, that when we speak, we are doing the very utterances of God. In mine, it says oracles of God. Yours, it might say utterances. This word here is again, related in the same family as logos, the one that talks about the word came, the word became flesh. It's us being the body of Christ speaking the words of God. Now, that's a pretty big deal. I'm going to get to that in a second of what that means, but so he has speaking gifts, and then he talked about service gifts. And what does he say about them? He says, serve in the strength that God supplies. Again, anything that is you just doing stuff, it's background stuff, administrative stuff, it's being a strong body to someone that cannot accomplish a need. It's being the hands and feet of Christ. When Christ was ministering on this earth, he not only spoke things, he touched, he showed love, and he brought healing. So we have these two different gifts, but in both of them, we are to consider the source. And let me just think about that for a second. Why is that important? Well, most of us in here probably have a TV. Throw a TV up on the wall and don't plug it into anything. It's not very useful. It's been designed to show some amazing pictures and images. And if you have one of the new HD, I don't know all the letters now. I know there's HD TVs and there's plasmas, and I don't know why they're different or how they're different. And now they have all these numbers and what a P is, I don't know. But so many P's and so many everything else. But you could have the best, you know, the one that's bent a little bit and it's really big and it's bigger than your wall. You could have all that stuff. And it's designed to do amazing things. And you stick it up on your wall and you throw a party and everyone stares at it. And everyone says, "This is a really good TV. Yeah. Watch, I turned it on. Look at that blue screen." And everyone says, "But did you, I mean, are we going to watch anything?" "Well, I don't have anything to watch. Isn't it a really neat TV, though?" I know, you got to have a source to some image, something. And so, okay, you go buy a really neat DVR and you put that up there. Now you have a DVR sitting underneath your big expensive TV, and still everyone says, "Wait, you got to connect them. It's got to be a conduit." And one of the better ones is an HDMI cable, right? So if you're taking notes, write those four letters down, HDMI. This is what happens when we consider the source. When the TV realizes it can't do it on its own, it has to have a source, and it has to be connected to that source, and there has to be a conduit. That's the HDMI cable. When we consider the source of our gift, the first thing that happens is we're humble. That's the H. You didn't think I was being serious, right? Write down HDMI. H. We're humbled by it. Because we realize that if I'm speaking the very words of God, if I'm serving in the strength of God, it is not me doing these things. And again, earlier I had referred to that odd sensation of when God is using you in a certain scenario, and you think back to when you were a teenager, and, you know, not following the will of God, and you're thinking, "I never expected to be in this spot." And for me, anyway, I mean, talking about spiritual gifts, so just to put my own out there, growing up, you might assume I was always, like, in speech class or something. If you would have seen my first speech, I did in freshman speech class. I got an A because the teacher had a rule that if anybody laughed, they got an F and the person speaking got an A. And so you understand how I got an A. All my visual aids fell, my note cards, it was, I mean, all over the place, couldn't remember a thing, had no idea what I was doing. And so the senior guys on the football team laughed. I was like, yes. That was my goal. I got an A. And I had to figure out what was going on. But, you know, at that time in my life, yeah, I was a believer, but I certainly didn't understand discipleship. I didn't understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with God, to follow the Spirit's leading in my life. I was not engaging in any kind of spiritual gift in my life. I was a really good church kid, and I knew how to follow the rules, but in my heart, the Holy Spirit, I was kind of in a boxing match. It wasn't until in college that I woke up to the idea of personal discipleship and that someone else recognized that maybe I ought to try teaching. And that's the thing about these gifts is when you're in community and you're engaging, yeah, at the workshop, we're going to have a little thing for you to fill out, but for the most part, you want to hear other people tell you, you know, you're just the most encouraging person ever. What can we do to put you in a place to encourage people that need encouragement? Man, you're just always serving. What can we do to put you in a place where your gifts can be engaged? It was community. So that's H. It humbles us. It makes us realize that it isn't me. And when I'm in the middle of teaching, if you say I have a gift for teaching, well, guess what? I have to remember that the source is God, because no, if it was just me, all my things would be falling over and I'd tip this table over. When I get off the stage, I'm back to being a bumbling person that doesn't know how to communicate with people, and I say dumb things. And if I sit up here long enough, I'll say dumb things. So that's H. It humbles us. It makes us realize that this is God setting us up in the right place to be used at the right time. So that's H. D, design parameters. If you remember the silly putty, it didn't work within its design parameters. When we begin to look around and say, I wish I could do that, we're trying to operate outside of our design parameters. When we consider the source and we go and say, God has gifted me with a specific grace to be used in a specific role, we become what God wants us to become instead of what someone else has become. And we can find joy in serving and stewarding our gift appropriately and proportionately. So that's D, design parameters. M, motivates us. It motivates us. As much as it should humble us to know that it is God working in and through us, it also motivates us to think, wow, God, the God of the universe, has given me a design to be used in a specific way. Of all the people that have lived on this planet and all the different lives, I have a role to play. There is no redundancy in the church. Everyone has value. Each of you has been given a gift. And it motivates us to say, you know, I want to know what it is God wants me to do. And guess what? It isn't like there's 100 choices and I got to find that one and I wish God would tell me which one it is. No, it's, hey, you're in community and it just comes out naturally, much like the fruit of the Spirit. And there's all kinds of applications. If you are gifted in teaching, one-on-one discipleship is teaching. Taking someone under your wing and walking them through Scripture, you're teaching them. When you're sitting in a room of kindergartners, you're teaching them. When you're sitting in a room with junior hires, you're teaching them. In an adult Bible study, you're teaching. Encouragement comes in all flavors. Some of you are just so gifted in encouragement. And I say that because if there's one thing I envy, it's those that are just naturally, I mean, Dave is just one of those naturally encouraging people. And I know you all know that. And that was one of the first things that hit me. And one of the first things that I said, I wish I was like that. I wish I was encouraging. I wish I could, someone would interact with me and I wouldn't just say something, you know, dumb. I would say something helpful, you know, encouraging. I wouldn't just deflect and go, I don't really know what to say. How about them Cowboys? You know, I don't ever say that. But it's, you know, that's where I go. Someone like Dave says something life-giving. And I think, I wish I could be like that. You know, and that's motivating. To know that God has equipped you, seek out what it is and use it proportionately. The last thing is I, HDMI, invest. Going back to that parable of the talents. When we consider the source, the reality that our Master, our Lord and Master, has given us resources, we want to invest them wisely. that we do not own them and they are not for us. We invest them wisely. So that's what happens when we consider the source, HDMI. And then the last thing, as I want to finish up, leads us to worship. Because it's interesting, I say the purpose of our gifts is to serve, but really service ultimately is to bring about glory to God. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in a couple weeks, one of the things we want to really focus in on is worship. We want to talk about how our service is worship. But certainly we can't skip over, if we're talking about design, we are designed to worship. And we're designed to use our service to worship. When we are engaging in our gifts of grace through submission to the Spirit, we're worshiping God with our service. So much so that even Peter, who obviously was given the gift of teaching and admonishment, we see that in Acts, when he's the one that stands up, when everyone is accusing the apostles of being drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning, he's the one that stands up and gives that amazing sermon that leads thousands of people to Christ. And as he thinks about God's grace in equipping his followers, he launches into the doxology. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And certainly, when it's all clicking right, when God's design is going as planned, and the Christ follower is engaging in gifts through the Spirit, there's worship. And it just comes out naturally. Now, last week, you know, we call this thing dethroned, so we always have to ask the question, what are we dethroning? And last week, Dave pointed out that as we take initiative, like Jesus took initiative, we need to dethrone passivity. We need to say, I'm going to go after service. I'm going to serve. I'm not just going to wait and sit back and wait and see what happens. Well, this week, we need to dethrone expectations. Because the servant doesn't define the expectations to the master. At the parable of the talents, the one that got the one doesn't go, one? No. Yeah, I could do so much more if you gave me like 20. You'd make a bigger hole is all that would happen and bury more money. No, the servant doesn't dictate how or when he will serve and in what capacity. So we have to dethrone expectation, and we have to simply engage in the design that we are given and respond appropriately and proportionately so that when the master returns, we can show what has happened with his investment. So we have to dethrone expectation, and we have to say, I want to serve as you would have me serve. Not how I want to serve, not what would be within my comfort zone to serve, but to really step out and say, God, you've equipped me to do something special, to expand the kingdom of heaven. And here at this church, that looks like a certain thing. Here in your community, it looks like a certain thing. And I want to say throughout this series, the heart of Dave and I is to see you connected in your area of service. We don't want to just say, oh, we need another body in that spot. Sometimes it comes to that. But our goal here is to have you reevaluate and look and say, okay, where am I serving? Am I serving? Am I serving in the right capacity? And so we just figure, you know, the best way to figure that out is if God is stirring your heart in some way to say, yeah, I want to have that conversation, just come to Dave or I, and we'll set up a time. Maybe it won't be in the hallway right now, but you come to us and say, yeah, let's come on in. Let's meet somewhere. Let's talk this out. Because that's our heart. We want to see you serving where God has designed you to serve. And it's so neat. It's one of the things I love to see happen is to see people plugged into a space where they are now being the body of Christ as God designed them, and the joy that comes out of that, and the fruit that comes out of that, and to see someone say, it was great, I was doing this or that, or I said this or that. It was just so humbling to see God use me in that way. And so that's our prayer for each and every one of you. And so as I say, approach us and say, hey, or call during the week or email us, and let's connect over this next semester as this thing draws out. Let's pray.
Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for being a God that did not just set up some efficient machine to try to spread the gospel, to try to tell other people about you. You saw the value in equipping each and every one of us to do something unique and amazing and eternity impacting. And there is no one, regardless of how we might view ourselves, Scripture says that each of us have been given a gift. And so I pray against those voices that even now are saying, yeah, not me. That's not me. Pray against those. That's Satan coming alongside us, whispering and spreading lies, trying to get us out of the game, trying to sideline us. The Spirit is saying, no, I'm here. Listen to my voice. Follow my lead. And I pray that each and every one of us would do that. And as this series continues, as the workshops come into play next week, I pray that all of us would find opportunity to really digest this information, maybe as we read the devotional, the dethroned devotional, as we look at Scripture on service. I pray that each one of these things would just feed our hearts in our discovery of what it means to be a servant. In Jesus' name.